Hello and welcome to Zbrovcast, the English language Zbrovcabano pod quiz. Hold on, I know that. Hello and welcome to Zbrovcast, the English language Zbrovcabano pod. What the fuck is wrong with me?
This is going in the bloopers, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. All right.
That's what it cuts out.
Podcast.
Right. You've said it a number of times before. We've had it for a number of years.
Not today. Hello and welcome to Zbrovcast, the English language Zbrovcabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby. Holly Willoughby? I can't speak either today.
It's going well for both of us so far.
Yeah, this is the... You'd think after so many seasons we'd have got it nailed by now.
No. So did he watch any of the pomp and circumstance?
Unlike a lot of people in the UK that day, I had work. So yeah. No, I didn't watch any of it.
Oh well, I hear you've been bumped up to 53rd in line to the throne though. So
once I get my accuracy, it'll be a lot less, David.
Nice.
I actually had somebody on a call yesterday that said, "Oh, I'm doing well, but it's quite sad about the Queen," and I had to sort of pretend to be like, "Oh, that's very sad news," rather than "I'm bored to." Can you say you're bored to death? The death of the Queen? I don't know.
You can say that.
Okay. Well, it's just we're gonna get taken off the airwaves out of respect.
Well, I mean, many other things were stopped due to respect or out of respect. So this
rollerbladers and Keir Starmer.
But when he goes out rollerblading, they're going to be all over him. Right,
it's a football podcast, isn't it?
Anyway, yes. So what have we got? We have got
Zbrojovka Brno of the Czech Republic competing yet again in league football.
Yes, playing two teams who play in yellow and blue, which I've just realised. That's quite nice, isn't it? That's good. Just sort of nice,
setting Scotland up nicely for Ukraine later in the
nice
week.
Nice symmetry. Preview of Jablonec. What's the deal with Zlín? We're going to find that out. We've got Hot or Not, a lovely beer of the podcast, or I hope it will be a lovely one. Word from our sponsor, and possibly time to insert this week the feature that we didn't have time for last week. So, all of that to come.
Strap yourselves in.
Right, let's talk about Zlín, baby. Holy Trinity Zlín.
Yes, it's Zlín. They're back in new sponsor form.
They are. You went, I didn't.
Yes, we...
I was watching Zoomy Cars.
You were. How was that, briefly?
Brilliant. Really, really good. I'd forgotten how idiotically loud mid, sort of, like, 2008, 2009 Formula One cars were. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Anyway, enough of that sort of thing. You guys went. There was a fair number of you, I think.
Yes, so it was myself, Ben, Fraser, Julia, and a new fan appears in the form of Liam, who has just...
Hello, Liam.
Yes, who has just turned up to teach people English in this country, so very welcome.
When are your classes starting, by the way?
Very good. No, but Liam is a ground hopper as well, so he actually chronicles all the games he goes to as well. So you can find him on twitter.com at govi24.
Okay.
Or you can go to groundhopping24.blogspot.com.
Nice.
So there's your plug.
Yeah, good. Looked like a, you know, hell of a game to have missed, I gotta say. You can tell me about it. I've only seen the goals on the Fortuna Liga highlights.
Yeah, thing. I mean, can we just... I don't know if it was the same for you, but Fortuna Liga's website, it wasn't loading that specific video.
It wasn't. You could get the goals individually, but not the whole highlights
reel.
You had to
go, I think, to YouTube and search for it, but I thought that was kind of weird. I mean, a few things to say maybe on this game. The first, I would say, it was a return to the good away vibes, I think, as well. Mm. Like, it was a very good, loud... But we're partisan away crowd,
good,
which was just really up for it, including bizarrely about five people chanting "Lisa's in a box" at halftime, because they obviously thought that was like Lizzie,
right?
Because they'd obviously seen that Shamrock Rovers video.
Uh-huh.
Did I laugh? Not for me to say. But Zbrojovka played. It was a very strange game. Zbrojovka played well and didn't? Question mark. It was definitely one of those.
Scoreline-wise, it looked like the exact opposite of what we normally do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ran away with it in the first half and then looked like we were going to collapse in the second.
See, I didn't read the game like that, which is the thing. So what I thought basically happened to us in the first half is that I thought that actually Zlín slightly edged it.
Right.
So we score a very nice goal on about, I think, the 19th minute mark.
Sure.
Which is really good. You have a sort of a ball in from the right hand side, which is able to get over to Hreznicek, who then is able to miraculously use his feet and basically you sidestep the keeper, slot it in. It's a really nice goal.
Yeah, he does really well to get it out of his feet. Actually, it looks like he's just going to sort of bumble himself to the ground. Yeah. But yeah, he does very well.
I think Moussa Ali does very well in this move because Moussa Ali is just in the middle of the box, just going, ah, like that, and just completely distracts everyone while it happens. This is the first time, really, that Moussa Ali has started a game since he's been used as an impact sub. And actually, as the longer the game went on until he got subbed, the more that he sort of grew into it and became sort of unplayable. We might have a bit more of that later, but actually it's a couple of good Berkovec saves that I think keep us 1-0 up at the half. I thought some of the Zlín players were actually playing really fantastic football. And really, it's not as much when we come to the second half as Borovka running away. Yes, Ali was a problem. They couldn't handle him down the flank. But it was really sort of a self-implosion in some ways by Zlín.
Yes, that also comes across if you take a look at the goals. As we've said, Hreznicek's first one is all him. The second one is a Hreznicek penalty.
Yeah.
And the third one is actually a Jost Didibar own goal, although initially it went down as a Shevchik goal, but it's actually a Didibar own goal.
Yes.
So we only actually really score one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was at the time as well. Did you see the penalty incident?
I did not see the penalty incident.
It's really strange, frankly. What happens is that it's sort of, again, Ali works well, goes down, and then there's a situation like once the move breaks down, it's in the keeper's arms. Rakovan gets the ball, and then I think it's Fos. No, it's not Fosek. I think it's Socek. It's Socek then gets a rammed, like almost like shoulder barge, but he's not, you know, on the ball. He's just standing there.
Yeah.
And it goes to VAR, and the VAR gives the penalty, and it's coolly slotted away.
Yeah.
And then really the own goal as well, I think, sort of speaks for itself. Again, it's just more pressure down the wing, and then we decided to just stop playing football.
Yes, the goals that, again, these are the goals that I saw just from the highlight reel. 3-1 comes from Jakub Janecki, a Yuba Drame assist. It's an easy cross, evades everyone, and he just taps it in at the back post. There's nobody getting in the way, everyone's running towards the goal, nobody's sort of trying to stop it. And ditto, 3-2, it's another cross, another one not dealt with.
Yeah.
As Yuba Drame, what is it, gamekeeper turns poacher, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Gets above Denis Granechny and nods it in.
Should get above Denis Granechny.
No.
He's not that big. It's Borovka cannot handle crosses into a box.
No. Again, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to repeat this twice, I think, in this podcast. We need to break up Endel and Shura in the centre, as centre-backs, because something there is clearly not working. Like, I get that it's the mixture of youth and experience in there, but it is time to get at least one of them off in favour of Jan Sterba.
My gut reaction is that the experienced end of that bargain, Shural, is the one most likely to have a brain fart at the moment. Endel does what he does, which is sort of head things that are coming directly towards him. And Shural is not the calming presence that he should be.
It's now getting to the point that people are just weaving past Endel in the box. And you're a stopper. You should be sort of a studs in sort of defender if you're going to play the way that Zborovka do a lot of the time. It's not going to work like this. ever since, I think I maybe mentioned this on the last podcast as well, ever since he signed the deal, keeping him at the club until 2025,
his form has gone through the floor.
It's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's just he's maybe picked something up that we're not known about, but like it's going very badly, and it's almost like, I mean, if I was a Zlín supporter, I would actually be feeling really hard done by in that game, because I thought for large spells of the game they were better than us. Jawo was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think he looks like a real player there.
Yitrini. It's a Jawo sound effect.
Oh, okay.
I watched the original Star Wars trilogy over the weekend.
And okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, because I just think that Zlín knew what they were doing. So they knew if you just sort of like this team is dodgy at the back. This team has, in league football this season, kept a clean sheet once. And the only thing that's really, you know, stopped it from drawing level was a couple of good saves from Berkovets. I think Ali was probably our best player on the day. I think he's really unplayable. I mean, we did force Rakovan to make a couple of really good saves in this Zlín goal, who also, he looks like a bit of a bomb scare as well. He's a bit of a flapper and likes to sort of run out and sort of do that sweeper thing.
Yeah.
But really, I don't think it's sort of spoils the day, because we're still 100% on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Mental. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And I think
one of the historically worst away teams absolutely ripping it up on the road.
Our away form is better than our home form. Yeah. This has never happened. And actually, I forget the I think this is the precise statistic. We haven't won 3 games on the bounce in a single season, continual season, since 1978. When we won the
title
thing. So yeah. That says a lot, actually, about, well, not about maybe where the team's at now, historically how bad we've been on the road.
Yeah.
But really great to maybe dig in at the end. But again, we come out of these games all the time saying the same thing. We need to tighten up and we need to sort out the back. Full stop.
Right. I made one note on the very short highlights I saw of this game, mm-hmm. and it was very billowy goal nets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's all I got from from that. So let's find out, apart from billowy goal nets, what the hell is the deal with Zlín? So what is the deal with that there Zlín? You were there. Do you like Zlín? Are you a fan?
No, not really.
No?
I'm supposed to elaborate.
you can do.
There's just... Maybe it's different Monday to Friday, but I just find it terribly dull. Like, it's nice to go up the tower.
Yeah.
That's not really a tower. It's a viewing platform in the city hall. And you get a nice view and you see all the old... Batya houses.
Mm.
You can walk in, you know, quite a pleasant enough square in Zlín, nice wee park with some like leopards and cheetahs die cast, very strange.
Right.
But there's really nothing else to do. So like we went for lunch at the same place that we went for lunch.
Is it the only place?
6 years ago, was it? This Porta Fenahusa.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. They did a confit duck thing and it was brilliant.
Nice.
But You know, I was hoping there would be a couple of interesting sort of microbreweries sort of places. There just wasn't really anything
I
there.
I feel it's severely lacking in that sort of thing, because it's got a big university. It's got a very well-respected university. And you have to wonder, if you're a student, what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
In your free time.
There's probably loads of places that we just don't know because we're locals. But
Because we're not locals, you mean?
Yeah. And it's maybe a thing that... It's like... Do you remember somebody telling us that Prostyov actually has a lot going for it in the evenings?
Yes.
When every time we've gone to Prostyov, our complaint was there's nothing there. There's one bar that's open and it's pretty crap.
Maybe.
I get very similar vibes there.
Maybe.
I mean, it's good in the sense that it's quite close. Yeah. It's a very, even though you have to change, there's some easy routes back.
Yeah.
The stadium itself is kind of a cool sort of stadium in the sense
that it's a bit of a curio. On the river there, you have to sort of walk through a bit of a, like, it feels like you're walking in an alley around the back of people's garages to get into the away section, doesn't it? But I mean, I've got a little sort of you know, my little paragraph here. It's got about 73,000 people. As you say, it's close. It's around 45 miles east of Brno. Most of the city is legally protected, as it's pretty much the only early 20th century factory town in the country. It was modelled on... Do you know garden cities?
As in Welwyn.
As in Welwyn Garden City and Letchworth, I think, outside London. The idea being that it would be a combination of somewhere to work, somewhere to live, and somewhere to have a bit of greenery, not too far from another major metropolis, but not being a big city in and of itself.
A major metropolis like Uherské Hradiště.
Like Brno, I think, was the idea. So yeah. it was a combination of that and Swiss architect Le Corbusier's vision of urban modernity and simplicity. That's the 20s architecture in it. It's based around Tomáš Batia and his shoe empire. Tomáš Batia moved there in 1898 when the town was little more than a big village. And during the 1920s and 30s, the Batia Shoe Company grew and grew, and it built the town with it. So everything that you see there now is either 1920s and 30s factories or 1920s and 30s factory employees housing. As you said, mm-hmm. you can see these long rows of identical cubicle houses all made of brick. And yeah, I mean, for that time in this part of this country in Europe, it would have been quite revolutionary. You know, I mean, this was a time in which many places in Britain still didn't have indoor plumbing or their own toilet or whatever. So this would have been, you know, a real luxury. If you were being looked after by Batia's social program and so forth, it would have been like, you know, a brave new world.
Yeah.
Not the novel A Brave New World. That would have been awful, but
slightly different. No, like, I mean, by all means at the time, he was sort of seen as a visionary.
Yes.
Good employer.
I mean, socially progressive, lots of...
Am I not right in thinking that also he did a lot to try and, where he could, sort of shield Jewish workers from fascism as well when the Nazis came in?
Yeah, and he was so popular with basically everyone who lived there, not just the people, as you say, who worked in his factory. He was actually elected mayor in 1928, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He died in 1932, I think, but his son took over.
Okay, that's I'm mixing
until things up until the communists took everything from him, and his son moved to Canada and set up Batterville. I think it's in Ontario, and continued the tradition there. To give you an idea of how quickly it grew, in 1910, Zlín had 12,000 residents. 20 years later, it was 35,000.
That's crazy.
That is, yeah, incredible growth rate. It's also the birthplace of Tom Stoppard, the playwright. Yes. And
I've met him.
Have you?
Yes, he did a lot to...
Shield the Jews from the Nazis.
Sure, no, yeah. Well, he was Jewish, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, I met him because there was quite a lot of stuff happening at Glasgow Uni to try and save Slavonic studies that they cruelly closed.
Right.
And there was a demonstration at the Parley and stuff like that where he was there. So I've met Tom Stoppard.
On the other end of the cultural spectrum, Ivana Trump. Also from Zelene.
You can't win them all.
You can't. No.
Oh, she was an amazing woman.
So great. So great.
Have you seen that video? It's awful.
Could be any Trump video.
No, where they tell him that Ivana Trump has died, and then he's just like, just hearing this, wow. And then he sort of pauses for a minute and then goes into like a thinking on his feet eulogy.
Yeah.
She was an amazing woman. And it's like, oh, this is so bad.
I've not seen that and I'm not going to.
I'm
going to
show you.
Would you like some music?
Yes, go
on. I didn't find any bands of funny names from Zlín, unfortunately, but we are going to go with Jitka Šuranská. She uses traditional folk instruments, but it is pop,
Basically.
So it's a really nice mix. I'm big into this. This song is called Zavodu.
A já se ožením na tisíce a ty se
We into that?
Yeah, I quite liked it, yes.
Yeah, you may have heard, listener, some dulcimer in there used in our incidental music, classic South Moravian folk instrument, and depending on which cut of this I use, possibly a bit of incredibly high-pitched sort of Balkan bagpipe in there as well, which is fun.
That's not from here, surely.
Well, no, but it is here now.
Maybe it was brought over because someone came to Zlin with
some bagpipes.
Some bagpipes and a desire to make shoes. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Anyway, never mind the Balkans. It's time for Hot or Not. Is it hot or not? 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 Dun 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 dun. Dun. Yeah.
So why can't we be friends?
Yes.
You taking pity on me and give me an easy one.
It popped up on a playlist earlier today.
Did it pop up on a playlist, or were you watching that Simpsons episode?
No, it popped up
with Dredrick Tatum.
No, it genuinely popped up on a playlist. Name the band for a bonus point.
I cannot at this point.
Okay, War.
Oh, was it actually War?
Yeah, it was.
Woo! What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same band.
Right. Okay. Anyway, I have a hot and a not, as is traditional.
Yep, so do I.
Okay, give me whichever one you feel like.
I will go with Xander Murray.
Yes, Fairy Dean Rovers.
Gala Fairy Dean.
First name, yeah, yeah. There's a first word in there.
Gala Fairy Dean Rovers, yeah. Yes. So Xander Murray is now the first... currently playing, mm-hmm. I think, Scottish male senior footballer to come out.
Yes.
Important to say male there,
yeah.
I think as well. So I believe the first in Scotland since Justin Fashanu, back when he was playing for, briefly for Hearts and also for Airdrieonians.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If you go and check out his interview on STV, just doing the rounds on the internet, it's very well spoken, very articulate young man. And he's doing it as a force for good. So hopefully that sees sorry, I'm quite ill, listener, today. So I'm just I'm choking up with emotion or sickness. But hopefully he sort of kicks on what we've been seeing with what happened in England with Jake Daniels and so on, and mm-hmm. actually try and promote there being further tolerance in the game.
Exactly. Good one. I'll give you a not. Mm-hmm. It is a very general knot, and it's football clubs losing their soul. There was a book released this week called Scheiße, We're Going Up, and it has been following Union Berlin for the last two or three seasons.
They've been doing very well.
Yeah, they're top of the Bundesliga as we record, and when they looked like they were going up from the Zweite Bundesliga, there was a huge banner in there. Stadium in their like ultras home end, which said Scheiße, We're Going Up, because basically they sort of didn't want it, because the book actually follows or draws parallels between the fate of East Berlin over the last 20 years as a place once uh-huh. loved as a community asset, and then slowly sort of artists and famous clubs and places were moved out to be replaced by offices and yuppiedom and money.
Sure.
And as that comes east, Stadion an der Alte Försterei is next in line, not to be demolished, but culturally, this is their thing. Basically, the book is talking to senior figures at the club and basically following them trying to actively discourage football tourists, because it's become kind of a bucket list thing now. Borussia Dortmund, oh, everyone's done it. San Pauli, yeah, sure, but uh-huh. kind of commercial, and everyone knows San Pauli. So Union Berlin becoming the hipster's hipster destination, and Union absolutely not having any of it.
The hipster hipster's destination.
Yeah.
This feels like a good point, David, to say that I saw Union Berlin before it was cool, because I went to go see them in 2008.
I'm I'm so cool that I just went to see Tennis Borussia instead.
It's not a competition.
It is now, because I'm winning. Anyway, basically, it's...
Let's go to Altona.
Basically, it's all of the people in charge of the club saying, we don't want to market elsewhere. We don't want to lose control of how and where our assets are being used, because once that control is gone, it's over. You cannot get that control back.
This is also the problem with the stadium, because the stadium is, as far as I recall, just a shade over 20,000 and mostly standing.
Yeah.
When you become more successful... As with any club, there will be further demand for tickets. There'll be further demand for car parking and all these other things that go along with it. And then what you'll see is you'll see that that stadium closes, and then another mega bucket will just be on the, you know, formed on the outskirts of town.
The KFC mega bucket.
Well, this is it. It's going to be like the Medeski, right? Yeah. So it's going to have like, you know, well, maybe not 50,000 seats, because Medeski certainly doesn't have that. But it's going to be big, soulless bucket,
yeah,
dome.
Enormo dome.
Yeah, and it just sort of takes away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my slightly depressing knot. Do you have one? And I'll finish on a hot.
Yeah, I mean, this is you've heard it all before, but it's the football being cancelled for the for the death of the Queen. Why was football cancelled when cricket and golf and rugby and all the, frankly, middle class sports got to go ahead?
Yeah. Coventry are never going to finish their season. I've said it before. We're struggling enough already. We need all the games we can get.
Send them down now. Send them down now.
How dare you?
But I don't like it, because it's indicative of some problem that I think, you know, we have in the country. If you're sad about the death of the Queen, right, that's fine. I maybe don't share that view, but I understand it. Cancelling football to me is basically this idea that football fans, they can't behave themselves. Any time that there's something, you know, like a big match or, you know, some sort of cultural event, it's always the football fans that ruin it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what you're doing is, I think football is good in one way, in that it actually is a real sense of where people are currently at in a society in a lot of ways. You do have a real sort of class mixture now, and still I still regard football as still quite a working class game with working class roots, even though a lot of the people that practice it on the pitch are incredibly rich. And so you're cancelling the football basically because some fans of some clubs, Liverpool perhaps spring to mind, will come with an alternative viewpoint that they're not allowed to express, and this is a platform to express it.
Yeah.
And that's a really dangerous thing. It's all these people that always go on about freedom of speech being eroded in this country, not really like freedom of speech when people are pointing out, well, why is this happening? You know, the role of the monarchy in society and so on. I find it very hypocritical.
Yeah, I find it very odd that an awful lot of 50-year-old white men who will absolutely bang on about invoking the Blitz spirit whenever anything, you know, goes wrong or, we should, you know, anything like that, are absolutely not keeping calm and carrying on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
The queue as well. That blows my mind. I mean, it blows my mind that you would wait for, in some cases, I believe, over 12 hours in a line to see a box.
Yeah, this is my...
Whatever you think of it.
It gave me very strong going to see Lenin in Moscow vibes.
I would gladly see Lenin.
It was good. I enjoyed seeing Lenin in Moscow.
He was good. He played all the hits, did he, mate? Yeah.
Very incredibly waxy.
Yeah. But, do you go around in a wee sort of moving?
No. You do have to keep moving. You're not allowed to stop and like peer in. Uh-huh. Otherwise, a soldier steps forward and smacks you with a stick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you we discovered this by process of trial and error, that if you stop, you get smacked with a stick. If you talk, you get smacked with a stick. And if you try and look in the box directly, you get smacked with a stick. But then you get out the back and you get into the Kremlin garden where all of the other heroes are interred. So you get to see, you know, Yuri Gagarin's burial place. Mm-hmm. And was it Adam Smith? Not the economist, but the guy who was there documenting the Russian Revolution. He was a Times journalist or something like that. And he became a Russian hero and he was buried there, I think. I might be totally wrong. Mike will be all over this. But I think he might be interred there because he was credited as giving like the sort of best journalistic and book explanation of what happened to a Western audience. So yeah, anyway, that was good. I was with Mike actually when we went through the Lenin thing. Anyway, that's not the point.
Did Mike queue for the Queen? Mike, did you queue for the Queen?
I fucking bet he did not queue for the Queen. Anyway, let's have a final hot, and my final hot is Middlesbrough fans.
Yes, this is for the Cammy stuff.
The Cammy stuff. If you have not been aware of this, Chris Kamara spoke in an interview about suffering from speech apraxia, and for someone whose commentary, much like Murray Walker's, could be described as talking with his pants on fire, this is an incredibly cruel disease that he's got. And he said in an interview that he felt a fraud because I can't bring what I used to my work. Speech apraxia is basically where your brain wants to say something, but your jaw muscles and your mouth muscles can't sort of make your mouth work at the speed you would like it to. So Middlesbrough fans unveiled a big banner at the game following the interview reading, "You're not a fraud, you're unbelievable, Cammy," which was very sweet. And he took photos of it and it was on his Twitter feed saying, "Was it a dream? It was not a dream," and things like this. So that was very nice.
All the best to Chris Kamara.
Indeed. Right, what's next on my list? Well, jeepers. We're going to hear about somebody's favourite things. Right, this is going to be a semi-regular feature where we will be talking to a couple of the Zbrojovka fans that we know who speak English and have been around for a while, talking to them about their favourite away days, favourite stadiums that they've been to, favourite Zbrojovka players that they've seen, favourite other players that they've seen, and things like that, just so we get voices that are not ours on the show. And for the opening one, we are talking to Zbrojovka fandom stalwart Marek. So here are some of his favourite things. Okay, so it's half-time here at Zbrojovka versus Bohemka. It's going very badly, but we have here Marek. Say hello, Marek.
Hi, everyone.
Good. And these are a few of Marek's favourite things. What do you want to start with?
My favourite Brno game is definitely not today's one yet. but I have some games that I always think back of. Mostly are those that happened a long time ago in the 90s at Luzhanki, most of the games against Slavia and Sparta that we won. I remember one in particular that we won 3-1 against Sparta after many years of losing against them, and nice. It was really cool. In Srpska, I don't know, there was one against Sparta as well that we won 4-2. 2008 or something. I think Luboš Kaloda scored twice. That was a good one.
Nice. Talking of Kaluda, which is your favorite player you've ever seen live?
If we're talking about Zbrojovka, I think it will be Roman Kukleta or Milan Pacanda.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide, I've seen...
Pacanda was class, to be fair.
Yeah. Pacanda was definitely class. Unfortunate what happened with him. But worldwide, I think Zlatan. I saw him against Cristiano Ronaldo, Sweden against Portugal in Lisbon. And recently Holland, it was a game Norway against Sweden this year. I managed to get in, a sneak in without a ticket, straight to the VIP. And Holland was really brilliant back then.
Nice. Sneaked into which stadium was that?
It was in Oslo.
Okay, so what's your favorite stadium you've been to then?
I've seen quite a lot, all these Santiago Bernabeus and San Siros and Camp Nou, whatever. I think I would say Itaquera in Sao Paulo, which is the home of Corinthians.
Cool.
And I would really like to go to La Bombonera. I've been there once, but not for a game. Mm-hmm. We'd really like to visit the game of Boca Juniors.
Nice. So generally away days, what are we thinking? Like just for general atmosphere, not necessarily stadium, but, you know, a place to go and have a great away day. What's your favorite?
I'm pretty sure that I was at least to 100 away games with Zbrojovka. And most of them we lost. to be honest.
Absolutely on brand, yeah.
But I think 10 years ago, I think it was the 2012 season, we started in Slovacko and won there. And then after that, we went to Pilsen and won there as well. I think the Slovacko game...
I was at both of those, I think.
Yeah, I think the Slovacko game was my favorite one recently. But been 10 years as well, so
10 years of absolute pain, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah. There's not many that I would really like to get back into the memory, but yeah, Slovacko way 10 years ago, it was nice.
Okay, cool, cheers man. Yeah, thanks.
Well, wasn't that good?
Yes, I hope that will become as I said, a semi-regular feature, depending on who we can get to talk to us at halftime during live games on my phone.
And finding it, yeah, it's going to be the levels, I think, that's going to be the interesting one. If you remember, we used to do the old halftime thoughts on the iPhone or whatever it was, and then it wasn't really able to get through. But yeah, looking forward to having more of those voices on in the future. And now, David, a word from our sponsors.
Libar, známá značka laku na vlasy. Libar se prodává ve třech různých balení. Libar se snadno vyčesává, to je jeho velká přednost. Libar, známá značka laku na vlasy. Libar žádejte v drogeriích, obchodních domech a prodejnách jednoty. Libar.
We played Teplice.
We did.
Didn't we?
In between us running at 4-0 winners against Slovan Rosice in the cup.
Yes, that was a very good cup win. 4-0, fairly straightforward. Bit of a second string side, no injuries, no bookings,
yeah,
no nothing.
Yeah, absolutely fine. Lovely just stuff. Saying that now before I forgot to mention it.
Yes, I had completely forgotten that, so well remembered you.
So yeah,
anyway,
into the hat.
Yes, into the hat.
More importantly, I feel, it's the league right now.
Teplice came to Brno... not doing too badly, lower mid-table, I think, but a dangerous opponent at your place. They had beaten Banik 2-1 away. They'd drawn with Sparta.
They drew with Sparta the same day we beat Zlín, yeah.
Yeah, so... oh, yeah, they also brought about 8 or 9 away fans who clearly didn't know each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, the classic
and just,
no
and
mates
just,
in the...
and just sat separately in the away end. That was quite...
yeah, lowest
quite
lowest turnout of away... fans this
yes.
season, yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's one of the longest
I think
journeys.
It's the furthest. It's got to be.
So fair play to all who travelled.
Yeah. Anyway, what happened? Well, on 7 minutes, a cross is cleared right to Robert Jukl, who sticks his foot through it and leaves Berkovets wrong-footed, and it's 1-0 before we've even started playing.
It's a really good goal.
It is, yeah, but there it is. Filip Mucha... his opposite number in the Teplice goal produces three sensational saves in this half to deny Texel, firstly Hladík, and then I can't remember who, but he was leaping about like the Mucha he is.
I think Hrešnicek was the last one. He was, yeah, he was great, basically.
He was, wasn't he?
I think he was...
the anti-Rakovan.
Sure, yeah. Man of the match for me.
Really?
Because...
Teplice is man of the match, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise we run out very, very comfortable.
Sure. I have another man match, but...
is it Ali?
Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway, 1-1. Speaking of Ali, comes on 19 minutes as Shevchik squares the ball to Ali, who pops it up in the air with his right foot, swivels, volleys it into the far corner.
Oh, yeah, goal of the season. Yeah, that's why he's a man of the match.
Well,
right?
It was... well, and also that he was absolutely bloody unplayable for the entire game.
An hour.
Oh, yeah.
We'll agree to disagree.
I've posted that on the Facebook because it was the skill of the round on the Fortuna Liga's social posts. Yeah, that goal. So that was nice. The commentator described it as Henri-esque, which I think is pushing it a little bit.
Is it also very lazy because both of them are black players?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. Mm. Yeah, because it's not Henri-esque at all. I mean, it was well taken, but you know, come on. Steady on. On 36 minutes, it's Ali down the left again. He tricks his way into the box. And this is really nice because not one, not two, but three Teplice players stand in his way. And he's only 5'2".
Yeah.
And he just bulldogs his way through a lot of them. It's lots of, you know, kicking at ankles and scrappy balls through legs. But the ball eventually makes its way to Shevchik, who has the easiest tap-in he'll have all season. Mm-hmm. So... parada for that. 2-1 it is.
And then at that point, we just look great.
Yeah. Until 45 minutes and two, I think. As we have, count them, and I did.
Oh, yeah.
7 chances to clear the ball from our box and don't. People getting in the way of it, but not actually just sticking a boot through it. People trying to play out. People trying to get it past people and just fucking hammer it clear.
Were our centre-backs in the box at the time?
They were.
David, who were our centre-backs in this game?
It was Endlin Shural, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, boy, am I surprised. I didn't think that we'd have to talk about them again.
Well, there we go.
Get rid of one of them for at least a week and see what happens. Please.
Yeah, I thought Stjerba and his audition versus Rossitzer would possibly have pushed him up to a starting role in this game. It didn't, obviously, which...
yeah,
it was a shame.
But what happened, of course, as well, the change in the defence was there was no Grzinecny.
Yeah, it was...
Rob Matyov.
Rob Matyov on the left-hand side.
Did we look better for not having Grzinecny?
About the same.
I didn't think it made a jot of difference, no. Frankly. But no. We need
one,
to have a
the
look
one
at
person
the
we haven't really, or the one person we've only seen in one game at left-back is Divišek.
Yeah.
So there's, and he played against Ostrava and... I mean, I didn't really notice him, so I guess that meant he didn't do a lot wrong. So
yeah. That was a weird one as well, because we had Grzinecny on the pitch at the same time. He was just playing as like a left winger.
Further
think,
up on
right?
The left, yeah.
So, yeah, a strange one. Again, the problem that I have as well is that sort of like, what are the options that we sort of have outside of Stjerba in defence?
Slavica.
As well, we have Slavica, who is... I mean, I like Jan Slavica. For me, he's not a top division centre-back. But I think he's probably worth a go.
Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of good work when people were injured and we were rotating in the second league. And also in the first league, he came in and didn't... When he hadn't played for a long time, he came in and didn't look out of place.
Yeah.
He looked at, frankly, about the same level as the rest of our defenders. So yeah, worth a crack, definitely. Yeah.
The problem is, though, and this will be always what happens when he showed Dostalek, is that what he sees, and actually, give him his due, Richard Dostalek has embraced the concept of tactics this season, I think.
Not always correctly, but they're...
True, but he now knows what tactics are. But still, what he will see from a lot of this stuff is that he will still see things like away win, or you know, didn't lose at home, and he'll keep doing what he's doing, even though we are... I mean, I can't remember what we are on the grid, but we're something just like +1 or +2, I think, because we've conceded a bucket load of goals.
You're right. It will continue until other teams, and this is slowly happening, work out how to beat us.
Which is put crosses into the box.
And this, yeah, this is slowly happening. And then, then is the real acid test. And I don't see it being passed.
They don't like them running at you.
No, they don't like it above them.
Yeah.
Anyway,
second half.
I've got 3 lines
because nothing
on the
happened.
Second half.
Go on.
Teplice have an early second half goal by Abdallah Nging. I heard that on commentary. I did wonder how it was pronounced. Uh-huh. It's Nging.
Uh-huh.
Nging ruled out for offside after a fairly lengthy VAR consultation.
Yes, I remember.
But absolutely spot on though. Mm-hmm. If you see the replay, your
boy's getting
ways
quite
off.
I think we're getting the rub of the green this time with the VAR, which you didn't last time.
Yeah. Anyway, for the second half, we bang on the door, or more accurately, Ali does, with Mucha tipping another of his efforts over the bar, and we can't find the winner. It's reduced to sort of 25-yard pot shots and hopeful strikes, okay. But
second half Sprojovka, it was good fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
Now this normal second half is Sprojovka,
exactly. Normal yeah, so
we were sort of first half Sprojovka this time. We were threatening to be second half Sprojovka until we realised that we can't defend attacking threats, which poses well.
But it was a learning experience, I would say. It's not the way, a point is not the result we should have had, but it's not the worst thing in the world. It's fine.
I think generally, just maybe in English, we just use learning experience as a sort of a nice way to say something didn't work out very well, but hopefully it won't happen again. I feel
Hopefully we'll learn.
Do you remember we had that learning? I think the time that we last properly used the term learning experience was when it was bucketing rain that time before in Prostějov, where we walked around for 2 hours getting soaking wet, failing to find a pub. Remember that learning experience?
Did we learn from that?
Yeah.
We learned not to go to Prostějov again.
That's true.
Although that was more through circumstance.
We've got the season off.
Yeah.
So, are they out of the cup? Please tell me they're out of the cup.
Anyway, seeing as we couldn't find a pub in Prostějov, it's about time to have a beer ourselves. Beer of the podcast?
Yes, please.
Righty-ho. Beer the podcast.
Is that a tribute to your classic F1 cars? Because it was going that.
It sort of was, wasn't it? That didn't cross my mind, but let's say it was.
I felt like I had to play the bass line from The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Do-do-dum, do-do-do-do-dum, dum.
Right. Yeah, lovely. Nice little flashback. Thank you for that. Anyway, this beer of the podcast was a donation, which is incredibly nice.
Yeah. Yes. Love donations.
Yes.
Love free things. If you would like to donate,
Viper Hard Seltzer.
Viper Hard Seltzer. You're still not knocked at my door.
But Sam,
where's the lemon?
Anyway. This was donated by František. Hello, František, at Pivní Ordinace, which is around the corner from my house.
Aha! Yes.
Yeah, around the corner from Zbrojovcast Towers on Merhautova 12. It is open from Tuesday to Friday. So that's nice, isn't it?
It was open when I walked along today.
Yeah. It's a nice little shop. Because
Tuesday,
it's one of, yeah. It's one of those little pivotekas. He's got sort of 5 or 6 fridges with a load of different interesting ales and beers and, you know, fruity things and various other things.
So can you sit in? Or
you can. He's got a tap on this little counter thing. But what we've got here is, and I'll show you the bottle. I've taken a photo of the bottle. We're going to put this on all the socials, at Sprojovcast on Facebook and Twitter. It's nice branding.
Yep, okay.
It's got a raccoon on it.
Yep.
And it's called...
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Slight issue with the branding. It's called Crafty Coon. But we'll say no more about that.
Savage Spruce.
Savage Spruce. It is
Is this made with pine needles?
It is.
Aha.
Yes. Anyway, I've got some sort of flowery fighter, I think is the other one. APA, I think I've got in the fridge. But there's quite a nice backstory to this. I looked on their website, craftycoon.cz.
Oh, it's got its own.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're based in Rijhrad, so just south of Brno, just past Modřice there. And it's basically, I think it's him and his missus, I think, and they just started a brewery because they felt like it was the thing to do, and their mates were like, "Well, if you don't do it now, when are you gonna do it?" And their sort of backstory on the website is we're always looking for new fans and feedback. If you've got any feedback or have any ideas, you can. They've got 7 varieties on their website, and you can order it online and stuff. And it's sort of 120 to 150 crowns for a big doodah of it. So
I would have called it Norwegian. Would you like another?
Would you? Well, that's decent. I'd have called it Robert the Spruce.
Oh, good.
the Spruce Moose.
Spruce.
Shall we hop in?
Hop.
Yes.
Hop.
I see what I did. I didn't mean to, but good. I see what I did.
Great.
Anyway, this is...
What is this technically?
One Sprucey Boy. Steve Spruce.
Steve Spruce.
what is this technically? This is... they call this a Forest APA, but with two R's, like Craig Forrest, the former West Ham and Canada goalkeeper.
So that's nice.
So, yes.
Not sweet-ish.
It does smell quite sweet.
Or am I more ill than I thought?
No, you're right. So here we go, chin-chin. Ooh, that's nice. There's something really interesting on the back there. I can't quite put my finger on it.
That's a needle.
It tastes... Yeah, I know it's the needles, but like it tastes a little bit almost minty in a way. Are you getting that, or is that just me being just crap at tasting?
I don't know.
Things?
My sinuses are rapidly falling apart, as we discussed in the outtakes.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting as much flavour maybe as you.
It tastes really fresh. I really like that.
Very clean.
Yeah. Oh, fan of that. The more you drink it, the more it tastes like what Christmas smells like. Mm-hmm. Hence, because of the spruciness, I suppose.
Yeah. It's more rocky than Clubber Lang.
Good. Very nice. Yeah. Raccoon references there. Very nice.
It tastes like raking through your bins in Ontario. No, it does not.
No, I like that. That was...
For an APA, the one I judge APAs, as you'll know, on my ability to just be able to drink them without going, oh God.
Yeah, you're not a fan.
And that's actually pretty good. Yeah. So well done, Franta.
That's 145 crowns a go. And
But that's for quite a big bottle, I think. Right?
Yeah, that's for a...
litre?
So
750?
So 750, I think. But I could be wrong. I'm not really good at... Very good,
it's
at
good
judging
labeling.
The bottle. So, yeah, it's 750.
I don't begrudge that for a quality beer.
Yes,
on the
so
small batch.
Go in and say hello to Franta and tell him Royalfcast sent you, and
you'll get 0%.
You'll get absolutely
off.
Nothing. Yes,
not like that time that you could get. I think was it 20% off the
CBD beers.
Of the CBD beers, and I don't think anyone took us up on that offer.
No, but these ones taste nice, so I think that's probably.
Oh,
why.
The other ones just tasted like a normal beer with some quackery involved, perhaps.
That gave me a very dry mouth and a slight headache
because it was incredibly hopped.
Yeah,
this is why I didn't go in and quote my own podcast to get 10% off.
Anyway, so there we go. Pop to Pivni Ordinatsa. Tell them Ravcast sent you. Anyway, we've got one more thing.
Hop on a plane.
Hop on. Oh, for fuck's sake! Right, we've got one more thing to do. What is it, Sam?
It's me talking again because that's what I'm doing great tonight. And we are previewing only one match this episode, and it will be away to FK Jablonec. Gablons. In German.
Auf der deutschen Grenze.
Yes, the jewelry boys, that's jewelry boys, are... they're not called that. They should be called that, though.
Yes.
It's known for garnet, I believe.
Yes, it is known for garnet, which
not Alf Garnet.
No, or my mother's maiden name, which is Garnet as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very nice, quite unusual surname. So there we go. Hi, Mum. You're not listening, but...
I was going to say hi, Mum, there for a minute as well. She's not my mum.
No, it's weird.
Hi, Kath. All right, so yes, Jablonec.
Yes.
We will be playing them annoyingly on Sunday,
Sunday
2nd of October.
Yeah, I might go. I'm still sort of 50-50 as to whether I'm going.
I thought it might have been moved to 2 o'clock, but I wasn't sure.
If it has, then even... Well, if it's been moved to 2 o'clock, then I'm definitely going.
Two gives you a fighting chance of getting back to Brno at a half reasonable hour.
What I might do is my company has a flat in Prague.
Yeah,
so I might just go to Prague and stay over for free there. Anyway, that is irrelevant to what's happening here.
Yes, I will not be going because I will have too much work to do on the Sunday. And on Saturday, I am playing a music festival in Brno. So
yes.
I'll want a day to recover from a day where I will almost certainly be most of the time steaming. So Jablonec, the team who waited the longest to register a victory this season.
Is that right?
They had to wait until the 11th of September, match day 8. To find a win, and decided to then promptly beat Slovacko after that as well to make it two in a row. They're having a really underwhelming season, Slovacko. So Jablonec are 10th with 10 points, pleasing. One of five teams currently on 10 points. Zbrojovka are one of five teams on 14 points.
Yeah.
This is a really tight league this season. There's been real runaways.
Yeah, and after Viktorka beating Slavia 3-0 on the last game of the weekend, it's tight at the top as well.
Yep, entirely Slavia's fault, that having a man down early, conceding a penalty and a red card, I think, in the fourth minute.
Beautiful.
Something like that. So I'm very much on the Pilsen train for that. So, and Pilsen fans won't mind winning all their games in the league and then just having fun getting scudded every corner of Western Europe away.
And then in the final game before the Christmas break, by us.
Yes, we were. We've called it now. We will be beating Viktoria Pilsen before the end of the year. So, Jablonec finished 13th last season, and that's their worst result in quite some time. We have spoken over the years on this podcast, and it is over the years now.
We've
somehow managed to keep this up about how we have. I think we actually did a special feature on Jablonec in particular, or you did, about the model that that these teams have in Czech football. And for a town of that size and for a club of that resources, they have done fantastically well.
Yeah.
Over the years,
absolutely brightening it, as it were. You know, like modern Brighton, not with Dean Brighton.
Yeah. Well, because they got promoted in the 90s or early 2000s and never got relegated.
Yeah.
Or never got anywhere
near
it.
Yeah, and it's just been incredibly sustainable and well-run. Won a couple of cups, had a little forays into Europe and so forth. Anyway.
Yeah. No, because I think it's worth just pointing out that they came 13th last season because I was looking for the last time they did that badly. And you're looking back to season 2013-2014 for them to finish outside the top 10.
Yeah.
So really incredible stuff for a team of that of that size, and to be honest, for that fan base, they really get about, on a good day, they will get 3,000. Really, you know, it is quite a small sort of provincial club in a lot of respects. The continued pattern of me coming on and saying that the top scorer or our best player or whatever from last season is no longer with the club, it rolls on into our newest episode as Tomáš Čvančara, who has been very good for Jablonec, I think we'll all agree, he has gone to Sparta.
Of course he has.
A deal until 2026.
Yes, the Prague Hoover keeps on taking all the players from the surrounding clubs.
There's been quite a few sort of stuff happening. Yeah, there have been a few people have left from Jablonec, but a lot of people coming in, actually. So Tomáš Malinský's deal has been made permanent after a successful loan last season, so that's quite good. You may remember him from Slovan, Mladá Boleslav, and Slavia Prague.
You know what, I don't.
So he brings experience. He's 31, so he's not bad. But you know, the fun is the weird and wonderful players. I think what I like to bring to the previews as well.
Oh, we should also mention that we nicked their big bearded Viking goalkeeper.
Yes, we did. Vlastimil Hrubý.
Yeah, old Vlad Ruff.
So he's finishing off his career by getting paid money to
be the third goalkeeper. Yeah.
So you know, fair play to him.
Good. Good character for the dressing room.
Yeah.
Like Ben Foster.
Ben Foster, who was retired.
Yeah.
As well. He's done a blog about it. I didn't watch. Anyway, David Heinrich was snapped up at age 16, I believe, by Atalanta.
Was he now?
And he has come back to the Czech Republic. I say come back. He was, I think, the season before last at Teplice. But so he is a centre back, and he has been playing with SPAL, or S-P-A-L, as they're also yes. known, and something in Italian. So he's come on loan. That's kind of fun from yeah. Atalanta. Pavel Schultz, who has spent his entire 21 years on this earth seemingly being loaned out by Victoria Pilsen, has has come this time for what feels like it's his 10th club. I'm sure it's less, but honest to God, like, just release him, lads. Like, just release him. You just, you look, it's like Chelsea at this point.
Yeah.
Sort of just getting them out, getting yeah, the boys out on tour.
The Czech Lucas Piazon there.
It's like the gap year you do before, you know, going to uni or whatever, except it's just going through, you know, increasingly sort of desperate Czech times. How was your time in Budějovice? Yeah. How was your time in Teplice?
The groundhog gap year.
I really, in some respect, I really hope it keeps him up, because I mean, honestly, he will run out of clubs at some point.
Yeah, I think we're one of the few he hasn't done yet.
It'll be you know, when he's on a 3-month emergency loan at Lokomotiv and Horny Herrspitze, then you'll be like, just give it up, lads. Yeah.
Mylon come knocking.
He's actually not that bad as well. He's not that bad, Schultz. So I mean, okay, fair enough. So they've got him in. This one is really cool, just for his name. So, and this is actually, I think, a genuinely quite fun signing for the Czech League. Have you heard of Dion Kools?
I have not heard of Dion Kools, but I feel like I should, and I feel like I'm about to.
Dion Kools comes in as a free agent from Midtjylland.
All right.
Previously having over 80 appearances for Club Brugge.
Huh.
He's a defender, capped at youth level for Belgium, but has declared for Malaysia, and he has 11 caps for the, I'm told, Harimai Malaya, which should mean the Tiger of Malaysia.
If your nickname, if your Malay's as good as you think it is,
and I think it's not. So yeah, but just
incredible.
His name,
yeah, Dion Kools.
His only international goal came in a 4-1 victory against Bangladesh in the Asian Cup qualies.
They all count.
So yeah, they've rebuilt the squad.
Yes,
I mean, they had to rebuild the squad. It was for some time last season looking like they were in real threat of getting relegated, and that was going to be kind of a wild one. So they've still got, you know, their long-standing servants there. I mean, the one of interest, I suppose, is Miloš Kratochvíl.
Yeah.
So he's still there. I think he's been there ever since they bought him off us. He's
been there forever.
They have this mix of blooding in new players, but they're also doing a very Jablonec thing, which is really utilising the loan market.
Mm.
Unlike a lot of teams, and actually the one I'm thinking of here is Mladá Boleslav, because Mladá Boleslav are a bit sort of volatile. They'll have a really good half a year, then they won't, and so on.
Yeah, but as I think you're about to say, that's because of massive loan turnover.
Yes, this is what I was going to say, and because this is what happens, and this happens very much in a team like Jablonec, is that they will have someone for a season and they'll go on, or they'll buy someone for a season and then they'll go on. You know, who's gone through this now? Čvančara, Šranc.
They are very much, they are like Česká Budějovice are establishing themselves as a great halfway house team
mm-hmm.
between either players from the Druhá Liga or the even smaller sort of Central and Eastern European leagues mm-hmm. to a Slavia, Sparta, Viktorija, and then onwards,
yeah.
aren't they? They are pitching themselves at exactly that level.
Yeah. It's incredibly frustrating, but also in terms of like, well, it's quite smart in a country where there are questions about club survival that come up every so often.
Also, like I said, very Brighton. You scout
yeah.
the weird leagues, buy people who absolutely fit your plan in, and then sell them off, and that's how you make your money. It's not great for continuity, but if you do sure. it correctly, it can work.
Sure. How do you think Potter is going to get on at Chelsea, just by the by?
I'm disappointed in him leaving, but I think it's something he has to do, because it's a win-win situation for him, because if he does well, then, you know, oh my God, you're doing well at a big club, and hey, the England job might come calling after a while. Yeah. If he gets the boot after 18 months, well, that's just what Chelsea do. He didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
And then he will go, hopefully, to his spiritual home, which will be Stoke City.
What?
Potter at Potter's. Come on, David. The jokes write themselves.
No, no.
Anyway, Zbrojovka Brno. we actually did quite well against Jablonec last time we were up. We beat them away in probably our most heroic match of the season.
That was great, wasn't
it? One of, I believe, four wins we had that season. I could be
so
wrong.
So good, though.
Very good game. Watched it on this very sofa where I'm sat right now. But generally, our record is poor. So you're going back to October 2016 for another away win. We're not very good up there. So yeah. I don't really know what to expect of this, especially because I think that with this new squad that they are sort of blooding in, and they have had, like every team in the league, it seems they've drawn with Sparta Prague. They're starting to get on a wee run now, and they're starting to look a little bit better than they were at the start of the season, which was admittedly dreadful. First game of the season, I think they were 2-3, and then they lost to Bohemians as well. Would we take a point?
I'd take a point, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we would.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. International break coming up, obviously, and then that game. So we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. By the way, the place that Potter's spiritual home should be would be Kansas City, of course.
Why?
Wizards, aren't they? Potter, Wizards.
Yeah. You know, in Russia, it's called Gary Potter.
I told you that.
Yeah, no, I quite like it. Right. Thanks for listening to Zbrojovcast. If you'd like to contact us, we will be at Zbrojovcast on Facebook and Twitter.
Jesus Christ.
If you would like to sponsor or donate beers for review to Zbrojovcast, like Franta did, please do. If you're a Viper Hard Seltzer, why have you blocked my third number? And thanks everyone for listening.
So, yeah, cheers everyone.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye. The